Please turn with me to the book of Galatians, the letter of Paul to the Galatians, in chapter 5. I'd like to read verses 19 down to verse 23. Galatians chapter 5, and we read from verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, they're clearly shown and seen. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, that means the lusts of the heart, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, disagreement, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We've been thinking of the two ways that we can live life. We are either driven by the flesh, the desires. If a thought comes into our mind, it may be a sinful thought, we just follow its actions. Or we walk by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We desire to please God. We want to walk in His ways. Last week, we thought of the subject of joy. We've thought of love. We've thought of joy. And this morning, we're going to think about peace. Peace. A wonderful, wonderful word. Peace. Did you know that out of the 21, I think I'm right, 21 letters, not the Gospels, but the letters of the New Testament, 17 of the 21 start with a greeting in some form, including the word peace. Grace and peace be with you, for example. 17 out of 21. Why is that? Well, it's a greeting, but it's also a prayer. The writer to the churches at Galatia, or Peter writing, or any of the other apostles that write these 21 letters, 17 of them, they have a desire and a prayer. Grace and peace be unto you. Why is that? They could have said love. They could have said faithfulness. They could have said any one of the fruits which are together the fruit of the Spirit, but instead peace is the one mentioned. Well, you probably know that the Jewish word, the Hebrew word, is shalom. You might hear that word said. It's a greeting. It's a Hebrew Jewish word which you would say when you met with somebody, you would say shalom. That doesn't quite mean what the word peace is today. There is another word which is eirene. It's the Greek word. But the word peace in our understanding in the New Testament means something like this. A peace which is known and felt. If we are at peace, we'll know it. But I think it's true as well to say that other people will probably get some sense if I or you are at peace. Certainly we'll get some sense of it if you're not at peace. I was walking with a man a couple of years ago. He was a retired pastor. And his life had not quite gone the way he desired. And he was troubled. And we walked around the park together, And his conversation was going 60 to the dozen. I've got to do this, 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 this. There was no peace. He was not settled. He was churned up. Well, it was very sad to observe and to listen. He had no settled peace. Peace is known, real peace, known and felt. And if it's a deep, lasting peace, other people will be able to see it. It's one of those fruits which is seen, evidenced. So I ask you the question this morning. Do you have peace in your life? Are you showing that peace? Those that know you, those that live with you, your husband, your wife, your parent, your child, do they witness peace this morning in your life? Peace. Do you know the best way that peace is seen? Is not on a beach. It's not in the swimming pool. The best place to see peace is when you have trials and temptations and struggles and difficulties. Then you see a person who has peace. You see, peace is a bit like joy. It doesn't and it shouldn't depend upon where we are, who we're with, what we're doing. It's one of those qualities and fruits that should be continuous. Sadly, it's not. Sometimes, as we shall consider, there will be things that spoil and get in the way, obstacles to peace. So peace is known and felt. It can be seen by others. We see it best during trials. And if you're a Christian this morning, here's a challenge. Peace is part of your witness. If you find yourself often churned up, speaking 90 to the dozen, well, you're not really showing peace, are you? Because if you're trusting in the promises of God, you will have an inner peace, and you don't need to be telling everybody your woes, telling everybody your latest conditions. I'm not saying for one minute we don't share burdens and problems, but not the common day things which most people have. We subdue them, we put them down, we commit them to the Lord. No, our witness says we will speak of God. We will speak of the things which are good, which we're thankful for. We won't keep going on about the things we've committed to the Lord this morning and prayed about. We can say as well about peace, just by way of brief introduction, not very brief, but we can say that peace is often elusive. Many people are searching for peace and they don't find it. They have temporary peace, perhaps. But for them, it's very elusive. They're searching, looking. So firstly this morning, what is peace and what is it not? Peace is not the natural condition that we experience in our lives. We experience other things. We have sometimes happiness. We might have elation. But we don't have a settled peace that I've just described. No, peace is not natural. Peace is a gift. And it's a gift with only one place it comes from God. He is called the God of peace. And we read of the peace of God, the God of peace and the peace of God. He's called the Prince of Peace. He's called the Bringer of Peace. And if you don't have peace, it's because you've not asked for the gift of God, which is peace. The opposite is described in that horrible, ugly list of sins, and particularly the ones in the middle, which are about relationships, adultery. That's broken peace. Fornication, that's unclean peace. Uncleanness, the lust of the flesh. You see, these are examples of unreal peace, which is unclean and doesn't last. The final one in the list, which is to do with relationships, is murder. And Christ taught us that when it says, "Thou shalt not murder," it doesn't just include the ending of a life, but it includes the ruining of a life, the ruining of a reputation, the robbing of somebody's peace. That's murder. It's just as bad. It's a whole family of sins, of which the king might be the ending of a life, but it has many children and many grandchildren. So peace, what is this peace? This peace passes all understanding. You can't really describe it, define it. Only if you know what it is will you know what peace is. Do you know, I came across this definition. I think this is very good. Peace is peace. No matter what. No matter what. If you've got peace, you have it on the cancer ward. You have it in the trenches. If you have peace, nobody can take it from you. Nobody can rob you. That's peace. Peace, no matter what. It doesn't matter where you are, who you're with, what you're doing, provided it's what the Lord would have you to do, you will still have the fruit of peace. You'll have a settled heart because you know your sin is forgiven, you know you're right with God, you've been reconciled to Him, you have a place in heaven, you are a friend with the friend of sinners. That's peace. And nobody can take that from you. Let me tell you the counterfeit. For each of these qualities that we look at in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, there is a counterfeit. Joy, that's real. Happiness, that's up and down. It comes and goes, and it's a poor substitute for real joy. What's the counterfeit to peace? It's called control. Control. Or maybe when I feel in control because I've agendered everything, I've timetabled everything, I've organized everybody, and I feel in control. Now I have peace. No, you don't. That's not peace. That's man-made. That's fake. That's a peace which people rely on instead of trusting the promises of God, instead of trusting in His Word, instead of being right with God because you've come before God this morning and every hour and you are in communion with Him, so there isn't a paper width between you and your God. That's peace. Control, feeling in control, that will go very quickly. Just you wait till the children come home. Just you wait till you see this, that, this struggle, this email, this message. But if you have peace, it's peace, no matter what. If you don't know what I'm describing this morning, it's because you don't really have peace in your heart, which is durable, prevailing through life. Real peace in the Word of God is a settled mind and heart, the mind and the heart together. We feel what we know what we feel. That's peace. It's a harmony and it's an agreement within the soul that I will do what's right, no matter what. And I will do what's important. I will do what's most important. And I will make my decisions today upon the will of God, and that alone. And because of that, the relationships that I'm in, that I have an influence over, will be relationships which are peaceful. Some I can't control. I have to leave them with the Lord. It's the opposite of confusion. It's a settled, quiet resolve that in my inner being, I will do the will of God, no matter what. I will parent the right way. I won't put screens in front of the children every hour of every day that the children are awake. No, I will do my best. I will do what's right before God. And that will bring me peace, because I know it's the right way to parent, to live, to work, to live and move and have my being. That settled, quiet resolve, what's best because God says it's best, I will follow it and pursue it. Then I'll have peace. But I can't do that without God's help. I can't do that without a new heart. I can't do that unless the Holy Spirit lives within me to give me this fruit of love and joy and peace. When I have this peace, I am at one, body, mind and soul, or if you believe in two, body and soul. There won't be a conflict, because I will pursue what's right for each. And I will know and feel that wonderful peace of sin forgiven, of peace with God, of forgiveness and guilt removed. Matthew Henry, the famous Puritan, said of peace, "It is such a precious jewel, I would give anything to keep peace except for truth." I would give anything to keep my peace except for truth. He said as well, "What peace can anyone have who is not first at peace with God?" If you don't have peace this morning, if you're troubled of heart, and assuming that's not a temporary thing, you need to first seek peace with God so that you can have peace in your life and know it and see it. I've not given you my title this morning. My title is Peace Known and Seen. Known, felt, and seen by others. Secondly, we thought of what peace is. Where does it come from? We'll do this briefly. Many are looking and striving desperately for peace. I remember flying to Sri Lanka last November. And on the plane, there was 12 people. I remember rightly, they were from Holland. And I spoke to one or two of them as I was walking up the aisle and stretching the legs. "What are you doing?" "Oh, we're going on a yoga retreat. We're looking forward to the peace of the mountains. We're looking forward to the peace that we'll have together, leaving everything else behind." And I said to one of them, "Do you know, the problem with that kind of peace is you'll leave that behind. Because that's not abiding peace. What does the Lord Jesus say? My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you." That's what we read in John 14. That's real peace. If you want another verse, you don't need to turn to it. Romans 5:1. "Therefore, being justified by faith," faith in Christ, faith in his shed blood, faith in his perfect life, "we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5, verse 1. That's the source of peace. There is no peace in this world. Just look today. Unless you know Jesus Christ, it's only through him. He left peace with his disciples. He gives peace to all who follow him. He is the bringer of peace. You need to be in relationship with the living God through Christ. Only he has removed the barrier, the partition, the curtain that stops you from knowing peace. But if you come to him and you ask for that gift, it's a gift, you can't earn it, you've got to be given it. He will give that peace to all who ask for it. Perhaps one verse just to turn to. Romans 15 and verse 13. This really describes the peace that every believer will know. Romans 15, Acts, Romans, after the Gospels, and verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Those two are twins. In the early church, it was very common for parents to call their children the Greek words which mean joy and peace. Joy, kara, kara, kari, perhaps today. And peace, eirene, the Greek word for peace, joy and peace in believing. That's the only way I have it. I'm given peace when I become a Christian, and then when I practice faith in Christ, I will have joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15, verse 13. How do we find this peace? We find it in Christ, a gift of God. We find it through having relationship with him. We find it through being reconciled to him. We find it through being in his presence. And there's one more thing, another source of peace. Trusting in the sovereignty of God. Come what may, no matter what, we believe that God's way is the only way. God's way is the best way. God's way is the perfect way for our life. If you don't have peace, can I say this as a Christian? If you are a believer this morning, the reason you don't have peace is probably because you're not trusting in the sovereignty of God. Something has happened in your life and you're fighting it. You're saying, I don't want that. I want to be married. I'm not at peace with the position that God has put me in. I want that job. And I wasn't given that job. Do you believe in the sovereignty of God? Is that the reason that you're robbed of peace? I trust temporarily this morning. Let's move on. Thirdly and finally, before we look at the obstacles, how do I cultivate peace? Peace is a fruit. We have to cultivate it. The fruit on the tree of our life, it won't be looked after unless the tree is watered, unless the fruit and the blossom are looked after. We need to cultivate. We need to dig the tree around. We need to do all we can to cultivate these fruits, the fruit of the Spirit and the individual fruit. So, I haven't got time to turn to it, but the reference for this is Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Let me just give you the headings, five of them. If you want to cultivate real peace, number one, be anxious, careful for nothing. It's a double negative. It means trust. Don't weigh yourself down with the burdens of life. Cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Take them to Calvary. Go to the cross. Lay down your burden, and he will give you the peace that you've not had. Be anxious for nothing. Secondly, bring everything by prayer before God. You're carrying a burden, an anxiety, a worry, but you've not prayed about it. When you've prayed about it, then you can leave it. And leave it means leave it. Don't keep telling other people about your burden. That will bring it back. Don't amplify it. Leave it with the Lord. Maybe ask somebody to pray for you that you know well. Bring each situation. If it's a big enough situation to cause you a burden and a lack of peace, you must pray about it. Thirdly, thanksgiving. Bring everything by prayer before God with thanksgiving. That's the key. That unlocks peace. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. Look at what he's given me. Not what he's taken away. Look at what he's given me. I thank the Lord for one more day of breath. Some people die in their sleep. I thank the Lord for where he's put me. I thank the Lord for his word, for his promises, which are yea and amen. Fourthly, I make my requests. Oh, we can't bring our requests until we've first given thanks. Then we get perspective. Make my requests known before and unto God. And fifthly, through Christ. These are some of the ways that we cultivate peace. Be anxious for nothing. Bring everything before God with thanksgiving. Make our requests known unto God. And it's all through Christ, his way, his life, his priorities. What are the obstacles? And we close with this. Do you know the greatest obstacle? Some of the people here this morning in this congregation, you don't know Christ, so you have no peace. That gives me no pleasure to say that. You know who you are. I don't know. I can't read your hearts. I can't determine who is who. But I desire that you would know peace within your heart. If you don't have it, it's because you are an unbeliever. Unbelief robs you of all peace. Here's a verse, a lovely verse, a favorite verse. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace, not passing peace. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing will offend them. Nothing will get in the way, no obstacle. If you love thy law, the reason you don't have peace is you don't love God's law. You don't love the law that shows you you're a sinner. And you don't love the giver of that law, which is Christ, who shows you how your sin can be taken away. How do we love God's law? Realize you're a sinner. Realize you're guilty before God. And desire the peace that God gives. And ask him, pray to him, give me that peace. Please, Lord, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But maybe we've got people here this morning. You are believers. But you're not experiencing peace in your life. It's not known and felt. and it's not really seen. You go round. If you ask the people that know you best, people would say you're like troubled waters, churning things up all the time. Well, the answer is the same for you. It's you're not believing. It's not unbelief in Christ, but it's you're not living by faith. Let me suggest to you a number of reasons for that. Maybe you've not resigned yourself to the will of God for your life. That's a big obstacle. Secondly, there may be some unconfessed sin in your life. There is a closet sin, a secret sin, a bad habit, an addiction, something you've not dealt with, you've not left it, you've not turned from it. It's not repented sin, never to be turned to again. Maybe there's a conflict in your life, an unresolved conflict. A relationship in your family. You've never sought peace, and therefore peace hasn't been given. You're content with unresolved conflict. The Lord won't give you peace if you carry on like that. As far as it lies within you, live at peace with all men, says the Lord. But there's one more thing. And you know, pastorally, I think this is the hard one. And this is the one that gives so much problem in people's lives because it's the hardest to deal with. It goes back the longest period of time, and usually there's layer after layer after layer. It's bitterness. Something's happened. We can't leave it. We carry it with us. We have a suitcase full of past hurts, past arguments, past things that happened that weren't fair. Yes, I know they weren't fair. Whoever said life was fair? That's a lie. But if you're a believer, you take everything to the Lord and you leave it there. You've had an argument. Go and make peace. Go and deal with the conflict. If they won't accept the terms of peace, which are right and fair, maybe they've got sin to be repented of too. Well, you've made your peace, and you will have such peace through having done all you can to make peace. You can't do any more. You take it to the Lord and you leave it there. Make sure you've done all you can as far as it lies within you. But is somebody bearing bitterness today? You won't know peace. The layers have to be peeled back. I can think of many people, pastorally, others have told me, other pastors, people in their congregations, that woman, that man, they don't have peace. Because bitterness is eating away at them like a cancer. Drip, drip, drip. Every day, not a day goes by without they bring it up again. Oh, great peace have they which love the Lord, and nothing shall offend them. Do you love the Lord this morning? Do you want peace? An abiding, durable peace, which every believer has a right to if they're following the way of God and loving the Lord with all their heart and putting Him first and following His counsel. May we know a peace that is known and seen by others. May the Lord bless you.